Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. They cover the economy like nobody can in Montana. The Bureau of Business and Economic Research, and they deliver that information in a lot of key ways. One of the key ways is this annual Economic Outlook Seminar Series. They've been doing it for 51 years. We've been covering it for a number of years ourselves, and have gone to several of them. Well worth it. It's a half-day look at key economic trends, and it's tailored to the economy, like in Great Falls, or where they'll be on January 28th, or Kalispell. It's tailored to the economy in Lewistown, but today we'll talk about some overarching themes. One of them is property taxes. Yeah, we settled things there. Bob Story is going to be alongside. He's one of the keynote speakers for this Economic Outlook Seminar Series. Melissa Waddell is going to join us as well, as she is the director for the Institute for Tourism and Recreation Research, so we'll talk about that. That's a bit later on. First, though, director of the BBER, Jeff Michael, will be our guest. As we get going here, the Economic Outlook Seminar Series will do the same starting January 27th across the state. We got information galore here today as we talk with Jeff Michael and others here from the BBER, the 51st annual, 51 years, Jeff. How you doing, sir? That's a lot of years for this.
Sure is. It's great to be part of such a legacy. For me, it's just my second year. But it's great to follow in the footsteps of so many great leaders.
Yeah, and there's a couple of key issues that you're focusing on. Property taxes is one of them. You guys always set some really good overarching themes, I think, for across the state of Montana. A lot of controversy over property taxes, and we'll have Bob Story talk more about that. But I want to get the lowdown, the 411 on the economy in Helena, or the economy in Billings, or how are our friends in Butte doing?
So, yeah, that's one of our topics, right? Mm-hmm. We'll be covering sort of the outlook. We start at the national level, work our way down to Montana, and then provide some local information in the various parts of the state, and bring in a local speaker and a local perspective in each of the cities we visit. And so we're not just reciting the data. You know, in terms of how is Montana doing in some of these communities, and, you know, when we look at a lot of the data for 2025, in a lot of ways it looks similar to 2024 at the sort of the high level. We're still growing, and a lot of the growth rates look a lot like they did in 2024, a little bit lower than they were a few years ago, but still positive and beating the U.S. by a lot of metrics. But it's not exactly the same in all communities. We've seen just about all communities slow down a little bit from where they were a few years ago. A couple of areas have seen, you know, their job growth dip just to flat or slightly negative in the past year. But overall, you know, the state is sort of continuing slow growth in jobs, but strong growth in incomes.
Yeah.
And that's something we see consistent across most areas, that income growth is really doing well in Montana, even as sort of employment growth is flattening out.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me here. I thought I did, but I saw an interesting statistic about the average income growth in Montana, and it was pointing in the right direction. I want to maybe I'll ask that question. You know, what are some of those things that lead into better wages across the state of Montana?
Yeah, well, I mean, historically, this has been a low-wage state, and that's been one of its challenges. It's still below average, but what we've seen is that for four consecutive years, you know, the state of Montana has seen its average wage grow significantly faster than other states, and has really started to close that gap. So we've moved up from up to the 41st in terms of average wage, right? So we're still below average, but for decades and decades, sort of, we're stuck in the bottom four states for wages. So you know, progress is moving in the right direction. And one of the things I like about it is that we see wage improvement across just about all industries. We know some of this average is just because we're increasing sort of tech jobs and some of these high-paying jobs are becoming more common in the state, and they pull the average up. But when we look at sort of specific industries and some of the traditional industries, we also see that they're rising faster than inflation, too. So there's certainly some good news when it comes to income.
Yeah, I very much appreciate that as well. You've got property taxes on the plate as a key focus here. And Bob Story with the Montana Taxpayers Association, keynote speaker in that. We'll address that here in a minute. I want to ask you about, what kind of difficulty economically, you know, maybe in a broader sense, do these high housing prices, quite large discrepancies from some areas to other areas across our vast state. What kind of part does that play in inhibiting our economy? Or what's the value of really super focusing on housing prices?
Yeah. And one thing I'll mention, actually, just Tom, is that our theme is actually sales tax for Montana.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. We're talking about it. But it's close. It's very, very intricately linked to property tax. And property tax is driving that conversation. So you can't really completely detach those two.
But yeah.
I just wanted to mention that. And when it comes to home prices, affordability, right? That's been a challenge. And so while I talk positively about wages growing, they haven't grown as fast as home prices have in this state. And that's particularly, creating a challenge for people who want to buy their first home and are sort of at that point in their lives. And then for people who've been in their home for a long time, those valuations have driven some issues with property tax bills, right? So
yeah.
It can catch people at different stages of their life, and that's something that is a challenge in the state. You know, when it comes to home prices, they've been, there's some evidence that those are softening up a little bit in Montana here in 2025. There's different sources of data you can look at. Some of them look like they're still just a little bit higher than the previous year, but most of them look like they're even or even a little bit of lower than they were last year. And so however you look at the data, home prices over the past 2 years haven't moved a lot up or down in most markets of the state. We've seen And incomes have been rising. So, we sort of bite into the affordability problem sort of incrementally, step by step. But as these prices are sort of flat. And in some ways, that's the best way to solve it, because a reversal in home prices creates a lot of financial problems as well. So we don't necessarily want to see those home prices drop back to where they were 5-6 years ago, because that's going to create another whole set of issues, and we don't want to relive that situation from sort of 2009 and 2010 again. On the rental markets too, lots of people are renters. There's been a lot of construction out there, rental property, and we've seen that come on the market. Rents look pretty stable across the state, but in the Bozeman area, which is the highest rents in the state, there's clear evidence that rents have started to come down, supply and demand works, and new supply is starting to push some rents down in that market, and has also sort of stabilized rents and in a lot of other areas of Montana. So,
yeah.
We haven't solved our affordability problems, but bit by bit, it's improving.
Well, that's good, because we didn't think that was going to happen. The public in general, the consensus that, wow, what's happening to our housing? I read a recent statistic because they look at some of these areas, since 2010, Our prices are up like 80%, and that has created gentrification issues, and so it's good to hear that the market is actually leading out on this and bringing some of those prices down.
Step by step. I mean, yeah. There are certain areas of Montana, particularly, you know, up in Flathead and the Kalispell area, I think is probably where you see some of the biggest disconnect between home prices and what the, you know, sort of the average worker can afford. And so somebody listening, you know, up in that area might say, we need to take 20, you know, maybe we take it one step in the right direction. We got a long way to go to solve this.
Very true. And that's a real issue for families, you know, that want to stay in Montana, raise their family here. And so I think a super focus on that is going to have super results. Manufacturing, hit us on that real quickly.
Yeah, so manufacturing is we'll have a detailed discussion on that. You know, the big negative story in manufacturing has been the wood product sector. We've seen 2 years of a number of facilities closing and losing employment in that sector, particularly bad, you know, in around Missoula County where I'm based. You know, other parts of manufacturing in the state have been pretty even keeled. We've seen you know, some growth in some areas and some stability in others. So we'll have more to say about the manufacturing sector, you know, at the seminar. We got a specific expert speaker on that topic.
Yeah, that's what I love about this is that you know, you guys bring out all your experts, so to speak, and do the research, and that's so Montana focused as well. Hit me up on agriculture. You know, from your seat as director of the BBER, what's going on in that sector?
Yeah. So, and speaking of our experts, if you come to our seminar, we'll have Joel Schumacher on talking about agriculture, one of our colleagues out at Montana State. So I don't try to be too much of an expert on agriculture. Mm-hmm. or friends at Montana State have got that pretty well covered. But we do know that particularly, you know, when it comes to crop prices, it's been a difficult couple of years, right? And we've seen some declines, certainly, and challenges in crop prices. And, you know, that's persisted through 25 and into this year. And then on the other side of our agricultural industry, we have these high cattle prices, high beef prices, which are certainly good news to producers on that side of the industry, but you know, the herd size is down, and so the prices are good, but there are maybe not as many cattle to sell at those prices as we would like, and so it can be challenging to rebuild those stocks. It takes time, and it's particularly hard when people are offering a lot of money for the cattle you have. So,
right.
You know, the agriculture sector is one of those sectors where you know, there's some mixed news.
Don't forget lamb as well. I mean, yeah, they're kind of
absolutely
undergoing the same sort of conditions that the cattle market has. It's the 51st annual Economic Outlook Seminar Series for 2026. Special focus this year is on sales. Do I need a beep here? Do I need a 10-second delay? I did use that five-letter word. It certainly was a five-letter word when we looked at this back in 71 and in 93. Welcome back here. It's from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. So the Economic Outlook Seminar Series will launch from Helena January 27th. These are from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. You got lunch included there as well, and they're just packed full for your community, and then also discussion on this, I guess it's actually a sales tax, but we'll talk property taxes here with Bob Story. But go to economicoutlookseminar.com and pick up that full schedule. Helena, Great Falls, 27th and 28th. It's the 30th for Missoula, and then to February 3rd, Billings. The 4th is in Bozeman, and the 5th is in Butte. And there's other dates we'll get to as well. Jeff Michael is with us, director of the BBER, and also now welcoming Bob Story, the Montana Taxpayer Association, a former legislator, and a guy who, when we're talking, and good morning, Bob. How you doing, sir? I bet it's been a little busy for you, huh?
I'm doing well. We just took a week off before we head on the road with Jeff, and we're in Phoenix right there in Mesa right now, and we're heading home tomorrow. I guess it's going to be colder up there.
Oh, that's a shock. That'll be a shock for you. Thanks for doing this, though. Gosh, where do you want to start? I mean, it's technically not about property taxes, sales tax in Montana. Is it time is the question. So I'll ask you, sales tax in Montana, is it time?
Well, I think we're getting closer to that time if people really want to a viable chance of significantly reducing their property taxes. You know, I mean, Montana, all local government schools run on property taxes, and it's a big state with very few people, so it takes a lot of property tax revenue to fund all that infrastructure of government and schools. And, you know, people think they don't want to pay that with a tax on their property. They're going to have to consider another significant alternative revenue source, and that kind of gets you to the discussion of, has our economy and our demographics changed enough that a sales tax might be a viable option?
What are we talking about in terms of how much money? Because, you know, there are other ideas out there. One we'll talk about that is now got tangled into this House bill or Senate bill 542, and there's a lawsuit against that. More to come on that. But what kind of revenue are we talking about replacing? Because it seems like it's such a large amount that, you know, cutting government spending or taxing this targeted area here or there doesn't satisfy.
Well, the property tax in total is over $2 billion now in Montana to fund, again, all local types of services. So if you could reduce that significantly, half of it or so with the sales tax, you know, you'd need around $1 billion of income to reduce property taxes. And my belief is you do that through the K-12 school funding system, because that's the largest user of property taxes in Montana. And also that way you equally distribute the tax relief across the state, because you have to do that constitutionally with state revenue for school funding.
Jeff Michael, I'm going to have you weigh in here. Jeff Michael, director of the BBER as well. And maybe just talk about how approaching this topic from that economic standpoint is maybe important at this time, but how businesses and people who go to work day in and day out are entangled in all this.
Yeah, and I'll just say one reason we talk about this topic is we're trying to be forward-looking, and I think I agree with Tom. You know, we use "Is it time?" as sort of our marketing slogan, but our objective really isn't to say yes or no or to move quickly on this. We're trying to bring some information to the topic so that if that could help shape a proposal that might come years down the road. We want to make sure that it's a thoughtful and good proposal if we want to do that. So we think the time is now to sort of bring some information to the table and some discussion to the table for people that might be thinking about this as a revenues source to reduce property tax. So, you know, that's sort of our approach to it. And I think it's important to keep that in mind.
The legislature, Bob Story, tackled it in a meaningful way. But there's a lot of holes that people are talking about here. And there's a lawsuit against that, that main Senate bill. That original intent of that Senate bill was to just freeze property assessments, because this was late in the session and they weren't coming together. There seemed to be only really one plan that was kind of baked in. Does that plan work? What's your take on what the legislature has done and what's left to do?
Well, the legislature has always kind of been restricted by a lot of things about how you deal with property taxes. And basically the main restriction is that they really can't step to the plate yet and agree on another source of revenue. So basically what happens is what happened in Senate Bill 542 and previous attempts back in the early 2000s, is you basically just shift taxes from one property taxpayer to another to provide relief to homeowners to offset that increase in value that results from the economic pressures of various types that drive up the value of homes. which in turn drive up the taxes. So the legislature does what they do best, something that they've done in the past, and has basically lower tax rates on homes and shift taxes to the other types of properties.
Satisfactorily?
No. It basically leaves a lot of, especially the business side of the tax equation, hanging out there, you know, in a competitive nation, in a competitive world, and their property taxes continue to increase, and many times they don't have the ability to pass those on to their customers, because their customers can choose to buy anywhere they want, and consequently you see some of the effects of that on Main Street, with, you know, more and more businesses closing and people's choices of where to purchase being limited, and basically driving more business through internet for sellers who don't pay a lot of tax in Montana.
Democrats would argue that that shift to a higher cost in this tax session was just a reshifting of lower costs that especially big businesses and others paid in a previous session. What's the take there?
To some extent, that's true. And 2023, the value of homes skyrocketed to 48%. Yeah. Other classes of property actually dropped in value, and the legislature did not adjust the tax rates, which was fine with us. If you have a property tax system that's based on paying taxes according to your value, you know, that's fine to let the taxes go where the value goes. But the legislature in 25 did offset both of those reappraisals in 23 and 25. And so that it did reshift things back to business, but lots of times shifted things back to business that had lower values than they had in 23 and 25. And so, you know, they had to pick up a bigger tax burden when their value really didn't indicate they should.
It was imperfect. I'm going to ask this question, and we got like about a minute left on it too. Plenty of time, but could it be, and this is one of the questions that you ask, Jeff, right here for the Economic Outlook Seminar, could a sales tax be designed to effectively target tourists and then reduce the impact on local residents?
Well, we attempted that in 2003 with Governor Marks to create a tourism tax that would tax restaurants and bars and rental cars and hotel rooms and recreational type things, you know, and presented that to the 2003 legislature. That bill, shortly after it was introduced, everyone escaped except the hotels and the rental cars. And so we do have a statewide sales tax on hotel rooms of 4% and rental cars of 4%. And all those other tourist-type businesses that contribute to escape from the 2003 bill. And so they're still out there. You know, the opportunity to generate that money is there. But that's not a significant amount. I mean, even the governor's task force looked at that shortly.
Yeah, and more to come here. Bob, thank you so much. I know we'll pick this up again, and it keeps a lot of people up at night. I hope it doesn't keep you up at night. Bob Story, leading economist across the state, getting together for the 51st Economic Outlook Seminar from the BBER, leading policy experts as well. What's ahead, as we mentioned, for property taxes? Could it be a sales tax on the plate, or are we working hard enough at other solutions? How about tourism? Let's move to tourism now. Welcome back again here. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. I've always highly recommended this Economic Outlook Seminar series. It's coming to 9 locations. Let me get the information out there, and then we'll talk to Melissa and Jeff Michael again. But it's economicoutlookseminar.com for information. As I mentioned, they'll start at 8 in the morning and then wrap up at 1 o'clock, and dinner will be served here as well. Some keynote addresses, but also information tailored to your area. So it's January 27th, Helena at the Great Northern, 28th in Great Falls at the Airport Event Center. Let's see. This is the 30th then. So next week, Missoula at the Hilton Garden Inn. Again, these are all 8 o'clock starts. Mark your calendar for February 3rd and 4th and 5th. It's Billings, Bozeman, Butte. Then it'll be the 10th in Kalispell, and then there'll be some time off there. A lot of things are happening in that middle of February to early March, like sports activities across these smaller communities. So March 10th in Lewistown, March 11th in Havre. Let's get back here with Jeff Michael again, who's the director of the BBER, and then welcome Melissa Waddell, director of the Institute for Tourism and Recreation Research, to talk about how Montana's tourism industry is doing. Melissa, how are you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing great. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Hey, Jeff, why don't you start off with, you know, from your standpoint, chair, your chair there is the director of the BBER. What part does tourism play in our economy? What can it do for us?
Well, you know, tourism has been growing in importance to our economy. It's increasingly, you know, a source of jobs and income to the state, and you know, it's driven by, you know, all this this beautiful state that we all love living in, and people love to visit. And, you know, Melissa is here. She's collecting the data on all that, and we really rely on her research to understand how it impacts our economy.
Melissa, you know, what pops out to you when we ask that general question, how is our tourism industry doing?
Yeah, so we have some preliminary numbers from 2025. We think we are down about 4%, so 13.2 million visitors. Of course, we still have data coming in because we calibrate those numbers with airport deboardings, DOT, our surveys that come in. We intercept visitors all across the state. In 2024, we estimated around 13.7 million visitors. So we're seeing a little decrease, but the good news is we have seen increased spending. So in 2024, about $5 billion in visitor spending, and for 2025, we're estimating around $5.6 billion. So less visitors and more money, I think, should make folks pretty happy.
How much of that is inflationary? How much of that is just due to the cost of hotels and everything, it seems like, going up?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think a few things are coming into factor. Absolutely, inflation is impacting this. We've seen kind of the average room rate increase for hotels. Gas is increasing. Flights are increasing. We also saw increasing spending in shopping, which is interesting. We've seen that in the past 3 or 4 years kind of tick up. I wouldn't say people come to Montana to shop, but we're seeing that increase. We've also seen made in Montana products really increase. And we're also seeing the outfitter and guide category increase. And when you look at some of our travelers or trends that are happening, we're seeing a higher end traveler, more luxury traveler. And so I think we're going to see these categories go up, which is good for our local communities, especially the people that work in outfitting and guiding and have local shops in town and count on those visitors coming in and spending that money.
Of that 13.2 million, are those all out-of-state visitors? You know, maybe give us an understanding of the dynamic of in-state versus out-of-state.
Yeah, also a really great question. We primarily measure out-of-state visitors. That is bringing new money into the economy. And so that 13.2 million are out-of-state. And we intercept them at visitor centers, filling stations, and airports, and ask them where they're coming from and what they're spending. We don't do a lot of in-state, like resident travel data, although we have a new Tourism Advisory Council project coming up for the upcoming year that is going to look at that. But we know that local communities, for example, I was just at a hot springs recently, and I would tell you everyone I talked to was local, right? Mm-hmm. And so they were coming for, you know, to spend the weekend and go on vacation. And so in-resident travel is very important to local economies.
Yeah.
And honestly, to our quality of life. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm curious if that, you know, fills the gap. Actually, a loss in out-of-state visitation, you know, down 4%. Is, for me, not a real significant or dynamic figure. I know there's a lot of things that go into that. The overall economy is not as strong as I would think, you know, some economists are letting us or leading us to believe. It just feels like people are struggling, you know, so underneath all of that. Does that in-state tourism then kind of, does it fill that gap for what we've lost that last year in the out-of-state?
I think it depends on the region and the community, but I would say yes, strong domestic and like just regional drive markets, I think have really sustained us, right? If people are feeling tighter wallets, maybe they're not going to take as big a trips or fly somewhere, they'll drive. And so we know, you know, the states surrounding us are a big part of our visitation. And so they might come to Montana more, plan trips last minute. We've started to see that. And then if we have an increase in luxury travel where people who do have a lot of money continue to come here, I think that fills in some of that gap. And I agree with you. Down 4% isn't really bad.
Yeah. It's kind of within range, right, of normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sales tax in Montana, is it time? That's one of the questions here for this Economic Outlook Seminar Series. And we have felt that our tourism benefits from the lack of a sales tax. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that is a dynamic question and topic. I would argue that our stakeholders would say we do tax the visitors, right? Mm-hmm. We have a lodging tax. And that is distributed in a few different ways. A lot of that goes back into our regions, whether it's to manage the region, to market it. You have to remember we compete with every other state in international location to get visitors, right? And then also you have seen through some legislative bills that tax money is going back into communities to build infrastructure, especially in the rural settings. So I would give that perspective on it a little bit. It is interesting, if you come to the seminar, I have two survey results. We intercept residents in the last quarter of every year, and we ask them what they thought about sales tax. And it you will see that generally residents are not that supportive of it. However, they said if there was one, they really favor exemptions. And so they would want it for groceries, food, medicine, low-income residents, and, of course, you know, kind of property taxes. And then we also ask businesses, because we send out a business survey before we go out on the road to our tourism and outdoor rec companies. And it was kind of a mixed bag. They actually didn't think that if there was a tax on visitors, additional, like, sales tax, that they would really notice it because they pay taxes everywhere else they go. I think there are some niche markets. Like I think about the RV industry and other things that people come here for. So that would certainly have a big impact, but it's been kind of a mixed bag when we talk to people.
I'll just weigh in briefly because I know a lot of people think a sales tax is going to be paid in large part by out-of-state visitors, but I think some people overestimate that. Visitors to Montana, you know, Melissa says they're spending more on shopping, but if you look at states that get a lot of sales tax from out-of-state visitors, their visitors are much more oriented towards shopping. That's, you know, part of the big part of what they're doing when they travel in Montana. Our visitors don't spend as much on that as in some areas, even if it's increasing. And so we won't pick up quite as much sales tax from visitors if we were to do it here as we might see in some other tourism locations.
Yeah, it's based on that experience and services. I got to ask Melissa, Director of the Institute for Tourism and Recreation Research, you guys do a lot of surveys. Were one of those surveys kind of like, are the people of Montana getting a little tired of out-of-state tourists? I can't ask that. I could probably ask it in a more diplomatic way, but people are wondering, you know, where's the balance? Because I think there's some who have felt that, you know, influences into Montana have not always had a positive impact.
Yeah, excellent question. We have been asking three questions since 1992, and specifically around that to residents in quarter four. 65% of Montanans agree that the benefits outweigh the negatives. However, you are seeing a little bit of a decline when we ask if the state is being overcrowded. And so around 46% of people think that. So that leaves a pretty wide range that people don't. I would caveat this that I do think it can be challenging to have that right balance, but we have a lot of great organizations on the ground in the regions and the communities trying to balance that. Also, as residents, we have a better quality of life because of this visitation economy. I think about airfare, being able to go places. I think about trails, restaurants, things that we have a really small population in Montana. If it wasn't for those visitors coming in, we wouldn't have those markets. And then the last thing I want to point out is if we do feel crowding in some areas, which around gateway communities and national parks, of course we do. That's all over the country. Then the question is, do we have the right infrastructure to move that amount of people through? Do we need to make some more changes and invest in that so our residents don't feel crowded? It will be interesting to see as we kind of move into the stabilization, what we'll hear from residents. But overall, I think there's still pretty strong support.
Yeah, that's good. And that's why you asked the question is, you know, if that's there, then how do we deal with that? What do businesses do to make sure that their customers get the right kind of service and friendly services? You know, what kind of infrastructure is in place? That's why we asked that question. Hey, Melissa, I got to save a little time for Jeff to wrap it up on the other side of the break here. So thank you so much for what you do. Look forward to hearing more from you as well. And there really is good news on the economy for Montana's tourism industry.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Melissa Waddell, again, Institute for Tourism and Recreation Research. We'll kind of finish up here with Jeff Michael, director of the BBER. They launched this 51st Annual Economic Outlook Seminar on the 27th. Now, what day is that? I don't know. I'm not looking at a calendar. Come back with final thoughts here. More from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
When it's time to move your harvest, you need a rail partner you can trust. And at BNSF, we're more than just a railroad. We're a dedicated team of experts, utilizing advanced technology to serve key agricultural markets with reliable and safe freight delivery across our extensive network. For over 175 years, we've been a critical link in our nation's agricultural supply chain. You can count on BNSF. We've got this.
No matter how far you may go, there's always one just down the road.
Town Pump, pump it up, pump it up.
Pays to be a Town Pump Rewards member. Join the Town Pump Fountain Drink and Coffee Club with Pump It Up Rewards. Buy five of any size fountain drink and coffee and get your sixth free. Town Pump, convenient and right down the road. Become a member today.
Town.
Every drive tells a story, from quick errands to big adventures. At Tire-Rama, we help keep every one of those stories rolling. We're more than just tires. Our local experts handle brakes, diagnostics, AC, alignments, oil changes, and more, so you can keep doing what matters most to you. Tire-Rama, your hometown tire store and vehicle experts with more than 40 locations across the Northwest. Find yours at Tire-Rama.com.
Tire-Rama, Tire-Rama, we'll get you there.
Manchester's Rest in the New Year clearance event is going on now, but it won't last long as all remaining 2025 models are marked down to move and must go. Check your mail for a flyer with details on King Bed at Queen Price. This is the biggest event of the year. See store for buy one, get one free details. Don't wait, though. This event ends on the 31st. Manchester has all the best brands. Save hundreds on Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster Sealing, and many more brands to choose from at your locally owned and nationally known Mattress Firm.
Mattress Firm, where it's easy to get a great night's sleep.
I'm Bo Milton from Ovando. What stood out to me about the farmers union in particular was their willingness to invest in the next generation and into their members. Really robust resources for getting us involved in advocacy and all support for starting up a new farm, which is very difficult in today's environment. Getting the free support and free training on that as an institution, that's what sold me.
Learn more at MontanaFarmersUnion.com.
Hey, Jeff Michael again. Final thoughts here from the BBER launching their 51st Annual Economic Outlook Seminar Series. And it's just easy enough to go to, find the schedule and what you'll encounter there. 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at many multiple sites, 9 across the state. EconomicOutlookSeminar.com. Bob, any, Bob, pardon me, Jeff, you know, how do you wrap this up in about 45 seconds?
Well, we're looking forward to these seminars. I've just been so impressed with the response that we get to them, and really the thoughtful feedback we get from Montanans. They really engage. They want to know the information, and they ask tough questions. And one of the questions that we've gotten a lot over the past year is about this sales tax issue, and that's why we've chosen that as a theme and want to address those questions, because it's something people have been asking us about. So I hope we see some of your listeners there.
Yeah, thank you very much, and I appreciate that. You know, I think we've it's become the butt end of some jokes about sales tax in Montana, but there really is more consideration of what it is as a tool that may help us going forward with some tax reform too. So good job in picking that one up, five-letter word. Jeff, thank you so much for what you do as director of the BBER. It's a valuable resource for all of us in Montana, sir.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be on your program.
All right, and you'll be back, and we will see you again. It starts the 27th in Helena. That's a Tuesday, by the way. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.